Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. Today we're going to talk about the Giants minor league farm system with the Vice President of Player Development, David Bell, former Giant who won the Willie Mack Award back in 2002 when he helped the Giants get to the World Series. Also, we're going to hear from play-by-play announcer with the Augusta Green Jackets, Joe Lorendi. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. We're going to get to the conversation I had with David Bell at AT&T Park in San Francisco in just a moment. One of the things we talked about was the Sacramento River Cats and some of the players that have been coming up through the system. Austin Slater now with the Giants. Derek Rodriguez, of course, with San Francisco. Mack Williamson has kind of bounced back and forth between the two teams. So some players that have helped out the Giants. Alan Hansen as well has really helped out. I had a chance to do the play-by-play in Sacramento on Saturday, filling in for Johnny Dosko, the play-by-play announcer there with the River Cats, doing the television side. So I was doing the radio side. And here's some highlights. First of all, Chris Shaw, who is on the rise there, he had some injury issues, but still has the power, has been putting up some home runs lately. And here's what he did on Saturday in the game against El Paso. That one's golfed into left center field deep. Bounce field and Allday going way back at the warning track, and it hits the wall. Played in by Allday. Around second, holding up is Shaw with a one-out double. Wow, what power for Shaw. It looked like just a normal fly ball, but it just kept going and going. And Shaw followed that up with a two-home run game on Sunday with four RBIs for the River Cats in their game at Albuquerque. So Chris Shaw now with 14 homers and 40 RBIs, hitting .260 at the AAA level. He was a first-round draft pick of the Giants out of Boston College in 2015. Well, Saturday also was a big day for the River Cats because Johnny Cueto was on the mound. Big day for the Giants because that was his first rehab assignment. And here's some of the highlights. 0-2 to Ray. Fastball, strike three called. And that was the fastest fastball that Cueto threw tonight, 89 miles an hour. And the catcher, Freeman, forgot that was the third out. It happened so quickly that he threw to third to try to throw it around the horn. But it was a 1-2-3 inning for Cueto. And that's his third strikeout of the game. The right-hander ready again. 2-2 to Ray. A swing and a miss. Strike three. He got him with a breaking ball. And that is strikeout number four for Johnny Cueto. All right, that was a little bit of the Johnny Cueto rehab assignment, his first one for the River Cats. 3 2/3 innings that were scoreless on Saturday against El Paso. Only one hit allowed, struck out four, didn't walk anybody, threw 33 of his 48 pitches for strikes. And he is set to make another rehab start coming up here for the River Cats. Well, now let's get to the conversation I had with David Bell, the former Giants player, longtime major leaguer, and now the vice president of player development with the San Francisco Giants as we sat down last week at AT&T Park. Well, David, thanks a lot for joining us. And first of all, it's your first year as the farm director. Tell us about what you've learned as far as the experience and what kind of a tone that you've been able to set so far.
It's been an incredible experience. And when I'm so grateful to have the opportunity. And it's been about 9 months now, and it's been just an incredibly busy time, but a really productive time. And really what I learned is so many people in this organization, for so many years, have worked so hard, and we've had a ton of success here, and it was just a great opportunity, and I was shown a lot of trust to come in and just continue that success that so many people have worked so hard and so long on, and then also to try to build on that, you know, and try to continue to improve on it. And the support has been incredible from the organization, and a lot of great things have happened in that time, and we're just trying to move forward.
What kind of priorities do you have as far as work ethic, winning attitude, and even just plain old winning, you know, looking at the standings?
Well, you're right. I mean, in the end, it's a competition to win a team game, and that's what it comes down to. I think it's really important for us when we talk to our players and our staff that we encourage them to be themselves, and we encourage them to be the best version of who they are. And, of course, working hard is a big part of that. Also creating a healthy life balance. And then ultimately, we talk about this all the time, how important it is to be a team player and be a great teammate. Because I think, you know, it's obvious the individual success that is out there for guys when they play well. But when you can channel that into being a great teammate and being a great team player, that's where I know we can create an edge. And so we spend a lot of time talking about that.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because the relationships that are developed at the minor league level are great ones. You're taking long bus trips a lot of times at the lower minor league level. So these guys really get to know each other well, and not everybody's going to make it to the major leagues. In fact, most won't. So those kids all have to get along, and it seems like it's something that you'll never forget.
That's true. When you can get along, it makes this game a lot more fun. And it's not always the case. You know, there are good teams that aren't best friends, but they also respect each other. And respect is another thing that we talk a lot about. As long as you respect each other and hold each other accountable to go out and compete and be a good teammate, at least while you're on the field, you can have a lot of fun in this game. And it can be a long season, especially in the minor leagues when guys are grinding it out. If you can get along and find a way to enjoy each other, it makes everybody around you better. It's a great way to be able to maximize talent.
Now, it's fun when you're playing well and you're healthy. It's not so much fun when you're injured. And Steven Duggar had to go through that. This kid has a lot of talent, though, and he showed the Giants in spring training what he's capable of. So what was the goal, really, for Duggar? His name came up a lot as far as would he be on the Giants or not. What did you want to see from him this year at AAA Sacramento?
Well, Steven is right where he needs to be as far as his development. You know, he's getting at bats. He's playing every day. The great thing about the spot that Steven is in is that he continues to get better every day. His upside is incredible. As good of a player as he is now, he's going to continue to get better and better and better. And that's pretty exciting to think about. He has everything could ever ask for. He has the work ethic. He has the drive. He's a smart, intelligent player. He's able to make adjustments, and he enjoys playing. So he just continues to get better. And so he's in a spot right now where he's able to do that, and he's playing every day. And it's a pretty exciting future for Steven.
He's got great instincts out in the outfield from what I'm hearing. And I've seen a number of Rivercats games, but he's making some highlight catches out there, getting great breaks on the ball. And I did notice when I saw a game that he kind of plays shallow because he knows he has enough speed to go back on a ball.
You're right. You know, he is fun to watch. He makes it look easy, so sometimes you don't even notice it. And but he is an excellent center fielder. He's going to continue to get better and better. I like how shallow he plays. He's able to take those cheap hits away, but he has the speed and he gets the jumps to be able to go back on balls. It's a great combination. And he, like I said, he just continues to get better. We love what he's doing at the plate, making adjustments, and he's right where he should be.
Let's talk a little bit about the mentality that you need to be successful at that level, because it's not always easy, especially for the guy who's already been called up, like Austin Slater, and he's tearing it up right now in the PCL. But, you know, Slater's been up here in the major leagues last year, a little bit this year. He's had a taste of it. He seems to be a great example of a guy who has that wonderful attitude about, you know, if I am down there, I'm going to produce. But not everybody has that attitude.
That's exactly right, and you're right. He's doing a great job of – he's doing everything he can do. You know, and at that point, it becomes a need or a timing thing. And but in AAA, you can really create an edge for yourself by focusing on what you can control. It's so easy to get caught up in being treated unfairly or not getting a chance or, you know, not getting what you deserve. And it's very human to feel that way. I've been there. I've been on AAA teams, and that's more the norm, I would say. For the guys that can really stay focused and control what they can and be the best player that they can be, they're setting themselves apart at that level. And the guys that do that, they don't spend much time there. They find a way to get to the big leagues.
Well, you have a great perspective because you were a player and you know what you were thinking as a player. So what do you look for as far as when a guy's going to get promoted? How do you talk to these players? Because some guys have to repeat at a certain level and they're not going to be happy about that. But what are you trying to accomplish at each level?
Yeah, no, talking about AAA, the interesting thing is a lot of times it's not based on whether or not you deserve it or not, or if your numbers are deserving. What it's based on is, are you able to help the major league team win? So you're much better off not so much worrying about the numbers, but controlling the part where you're doing things that show that you're going to help the major league team win. And at that point, again, it goes back to the timing of when that happens. But the major league teams are looking to AAA. They're not looking at who deserves it. They're looking at which guy can help us win. So some of that is out of your control, but some of it is within your control. And the guys, again, the guys that can see it that way, it's funny how the breaks just kind of happen for those guys. So it can be a real test. It can be a real mental test of, if you're doing well, can you just stay with it, and then your time will come.
What about at the lower levels? You know, when you're in A-ball and you're in Augusta and you're trying to get to San Jose, or you're in San Jose and you're trying to get to AA Richmond and then to Sacramento, what goes into getting that promotion? Because that is a little bit different. Like you said, you're trying to help the major league team win. Now, at the lower levels, you're just trying to get to that next level.
Yeah, I mean, there are some players at the lower levels, no matter how they do, they may not get promoted that year. And that's just the plan that we have for them, to go through a full cycle at a given year. I mean, I think one thing we do, we look at every player individually and try to determine what's best for them. That way we're not reactive. So if somebody gets on a hot streak, we don't make a quick decision and promote them. It's got to be much more well thought out than that. And, you know, we definitely try to do that. But, you know, it's just a lot of these guys, and a lot of our time spent is ensuring these players and reassuring them that just stay with what you're doing. Don't worry about where you're playing. If you're playing and you're playing well and you do it consistently over time, the major league teams will find you. You know, you can't hide. So just to reassure them that as long as they're playing and they're getting better, that's all we're looking for.
Well, certainly Patrick Rotolo was not hiding. He's a closer who was at San Jose. He was doing a great job. Now he's at AA Richmond. And what a find. I mean, he was a 27th round pick in 2016 out of UConn. You know, that's not a school you normally think of. But, man, he's really opened up some eyes, hasn't he?
He sure has. Yeah, he's put himself in a great, great spot. And he's a great example of a pitcher that, you know, he's turned a corner a little bit, and you know, things could move real fast for him right now. He just has to stay with it as well. But you know, he's shown that he has the stuff. Super competitive. He has a lot of that competitiveness that you look for in a, you know, possible, you know, later inning reliever. And I also heard that he's sneaky funny, which is a good balance to have. And I think, you know, having that kind of personality could, you know, give you some longevity in this game.
Yeah, we like that. We talked to Sean Anderson recently on this show, and he really seems to have a good head on his shoulders. He's got great stuff. And what a trade the Giants made to get him from the Red Sox in that Eduardo Nunez trade last year. What have you seen so far from him? Because it looks like he's doing really well in the Eastern League.
I mean, we're so lucky to have him. He has all the intangibles that you would ever want. He also has the stuff to go with it. He's really well-rounded, and he's a future major leaguer. And, you know, again, he's having the success that we want him to have at the AA level, and he's doing everything he can possibly do, and he continues to develop and improve. And when he has challenges, he makes adjustments and gets better, and it's just he's right on track.
There's plenty of pitching at Augusta. There's John Gavin, Jason Barr, Joey Marciano. All these guys are tall. They were all drafted out of college. Is that an advantage, you know, both of those aspects of being a pitcher?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we have some tall pitchers, you know, and some big, good athletes. And that staff has quite a few. And what a year they've had. They got off to a great start, which was huge because it was a younger team going into a tough league. A lot of younger players got off to a great start. They've hit some challenges over the last month, which has been, in the end, we're going to look back and it will have served them well. They're really primed individually and also as a team to have a strong second half. And, you know, a lot of guys on the team, especially the pitching, like you mentioned, that guys have really taken a step forward and you know, they finish out the year like that. You never know how quick their development could take place from here on out. But this is a big year for all of them, and a lot of them have really responded well.
Speaking of pitching, there's really good pitching in the California League in San Jose. And kind of interesting how you guys have gone along with Mac Marshall and Logan Webb, because they're coming off injuries and, you know, you're trying to treat them with kid gloves, the pitch counts and all that. How has it all worked out? Because, you know, they're not able to go deep into games at this point in their career. But how has that been successful for them? Because they are putting up good numbers.
Yeah, it's tough to be patient. I'm sure it's tough for them to be patient. It's tough for us watching them, because they've had some games you're like, man, I would just wish they could go a little bit deeper. But we know they have that in the tank. It's more of a plan that we put in place at the beginning of the year. We had an innings limit for them coming off an injury. And instead of having them run out of innings halfway through the season, we paced it out so that they could pitch the whole season. But in order to accomplish that, we had to have them go shorter in each game. So this way they'll get to pitch and get the experience of pitching for a whole year.
Now, there were a couple players that were successful at San Jose last year, and they're having kind of a tough time this year. I'm talking about Aramis Garcia, the catcher, and Jonah Arenado, third baseman. I would think they still have promising careers, but what did they run into when they went to Double-A?
Well, with Garcia, he's my pick for a really strong second half. I mean, he has the talent, he has the work ethic, he's as authentic as they come, and he's just a hard worker, and it's going to pay off for him. He has gone through a challenge here in the first half, which when you do that in the first half, it really shows in the numbers. But I really believe that he's going to have a strong second half, and he's going to become the player that we know he can be. He has a great demeanor. He has a great makeup, just a really good person. And he's quieter, so he's not going to talk his way to the big leagues. Sometimes those guys take a little bit longer. But in the end, I think that demeanor is going to really serve him well.
Arenado, of course, he's got his famous brother, Nolan. You know, does that help him when he's going through tough times?
I think so. I think, having been in that same situation, it's nice to have people to talk to that you trust, and especially if they're family. But with Jonah, he has everything you could ever ask for as far as skills and talent and athleticism. He has everything you need. It's just a matter of getting over that hump of believing that he's that player. As soon as he does that, he's right where he needs to be. He's in Double-A. He's a couple steps away from the major leagues, and it's going to happen for him. And, that very easily could happen the second half as well.
How do you treat the expectations for some of the first-round picks? I mean, there's Elliot Ramos, who's playing at Augusta. He's only a teenager. And now you have Joey Bart, who really established himself with Georgia Tech and, you know, being the number two pick in the draft. I would think that he'll move along quickly, but how do you handle those expectations?
Well, the beautiful part of this game is now that they were first-rounders, now they're professional players. They're just like everybody else, which is great for them, you know, and that we see each player individually, and we're thrilled to have both of them. Ramos is—he also got off to a start in Augusta. We all kind of took a breath of a sigh of relief because he's put himself in position to finish strong. And this season in that league could set a tone for the rest of his career. And he's responded well. He's made the adjustments, and it'll be fun to watch him in the second half. And with Joey, we're just trying to get him back into playing shape, and he'll start this season in the Arizona League, and it'll be fun to watch his progression. But really, they just become one of everybody else, and our expectations are the same. And you know, it's just as important for them for the work ethic and being a great team player. And so they're in a good spot where, yeah, our expectations are high, but they are for all our players.
So in your first year as a farm director, you got to experience something that hadn't been seen in forever. I don't even know if it's ever happened at the minor league level, where two players hit for the cycle in the same game, Gio Brusa and Jalen Miller for San Jose. And I know that you called them. I heard that you did after that happened. It must have been quite a phone call, because those kids must have been pretty excited about that day.
That's incredible. Two in one game. I couldn't believe it. But making that call, it's a reminder of, you know, that's the best part of my job. You know, and I wish I did those things more often, whether it's encouragement or accomplishment or, you know, stay with it and keep going. That part of it is the best, you know, being able to relate and connect to these players. And I think one advantage I have is, and hopefully I'll never forget, is knowing how hard it is to play this game. So when an accomplishment like that happens, it's just so much fun to be able to join in that experience and be a part of it with them and congratulate them.
Couple things before we let you go about you. I mean, being from a baseball family and, you know, three generations with your grandfather, Gus, and your dad, Buddy, I watched him play, and then I watched you play. It must have been great growing up in that environment. And to this day, there must be things that you learn that you're carrying with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big part of who I am. And it's a big part of, you know, why I've stayed in the game, because, you know, I've had great examples. Great examples of being in this game for the right reason and being able to contribute to it and help players. And, you know, I think my dad and my brothers, they're in it for the right reason, and they've been a great example. And, you know, being a part of that and that family is a big part of who I am. It's something I'm proud of. And, you know, it's nice to be able to talk to them too. And as we go through different experiences and being able to see things in the same way and, argue about some things, so it's great. It's the reason I'm in the game, and I love talking about my family. It's something I'm proud of.
And Giants fans remember you from that one season that you played for the Giants, and you hit 20 home runs in 2002, and you guys got to the World Series, almost won it. There's going to be a celebration here this weekend about that team. How special was that team and that one year for you in San Francisco?
It was a dream come true. It's the one season and one experience that if I ever look back at my playing career, I always think about the World Series. And as I've thought a lot about that season, one thing always comes back beyond my, you know, the teammates and competing in the World Series, and that's the experience of playing in this city, in this ballpark, in front of these fans. The energy that the fans brought played a huge role in our success that year. I think there was a point in that season where I felt like we were almost out of it. And I think the fans' expectations kept us in it. And the energy that they brought, it's like I would describe it as a positive, passionate energy that they have. And it really, that stands out. The memory of playing in this ballpark in front of those fans it's something I'll never forget.
Well, I'm sure you have a clear memory of when you were coming around third base and scored the winning run on the Kenny Lofton hit in the NLCS that sent the Giants to the World Series. I mean, that's got to be something that's still fresh in your mind, I would think.
It really is. I never saw Darren. I never saw him, and it was a good thing. I think JT's fatherly instincts, he just reacted and got him out of there. But that could have been a lot worse than it was. But it's been so much fun now. I can't believe that little boy is now playing in college and a good player too. Time flies, but it's amazing that happened. And it was just a great year. So many great things. And it's been fun having Dusty back in the organization. I've gotten to catch up with him a few times. So it'll be good to see him Saturday as well.
Yeah, you were the Willie Mack Award winner. And by the way, two big runs. It was the run in the NLCS and that run that you're talking about in the World Series. So, I mean, you scored two very important runs for the Giants, because I think you scored the winning run in the NLCS, right, as well?
Yeah, I remember that. I have to say, but it was incredible. Like you said, it was one year, but was such a full, you know, rich experience. And the people in this organization, and it's just to have the opportunity to be back here and try to contribute to this organization is something I'm very grateful for.
Well, David, you're doing a great job. Thanks so much for the time today and joining us here. And we'll catch up with you again later on this season.
Sounds good. Thank you, Joe.
That's Giants Vice President of Player Development, David Bell. When we come back, we'll hear from the Augusta Green Jackets play-by-play announcer, Joe Lorendi, when Inside China Basin continues. When it comes to Giants baseball, family memories are created one summer at a time. And the same can be said for your family vacation. How about an experience you will never forget? Shasta Lake is one of the most beautiful places to visit in California, and there is no better way to experience it than to rent a houseboat from houseboats.com. Jones Valley and Silverthorne Resorts are located on the Pitt River arm of Shasta Lake, unquestionably the very best area of Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there with rentals ranging from the finest and largest houseboats available for rent in California to entry-level models for small groups or those new to houseboating. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Let's get that vacation planned. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. Now let's get to the conversation with the voice of the Augusta Green Jackets in the South Atlantic League, Joe Lorendi.
Well, we talked a little bit about the Augusta Green Jackets with David Bell, and now we're going to get more in-depth as we go to Augusta, and the play-by-play announcer for the Green Jackets, Joe Lorendi, joins us. Joe, tell us a little bit about the ball club. I know you guys just finished up the first half, and it was maybe a sort of a roller coaster ride in that first half. What are you looking forward to in the second half?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to stick with the first half, absolutely a roller coaster ride is the perfect way to describe the first half. There were the ups were really great and the downs were very low, but it was a good first half. They went 37-31 and showed a lot of improvement, even though might have went the second part of the first half might not have went the way they were looking to go. But now we move towards the second half. We're pretty lucky, pretty much the same team at least right now going forward. And hopefully can improve over that first half, which was pretty good, 37-31. You can't really ask for much better.
You know, the three top pitchers in your rotation, Gavin, Marciano, and Barr, we were talking about them with David Bell. They're big guys. They all came out of college, and they're all putting up great numbers. What has made them so intimidating so far for the Sally League hitters?
Absolutely. I mean, we'll stick with, first off, Jason Barr. Barr was just been fantastic. A strikeout machine, was second in the South Atlantic League in strikeouts in the first half. He was incredible, just overpowers hitters and then uses his off-speed pitches as well. He was fantastic. And then to the two all-stars for the Green Jackets, John Gavin, he does a great job just mixing all three to four of his pitches together and just pretty much overpowers hitters and just dominates on the mound. And then same thing kind of for Joey Marciano. I kind of put him and John Gavin in that same category. Marciano with a little more velocity on his fastball, but both extremely effective. And they get quick 1-2-3 innings. When they're on the mound, it's going to be a quick ball game. That's for sure.
Now, Frank Rubio was with you guys, and he got promoted to San Jose, but he's a great closer and came out of the University of Florida, you know, won the championship, the College World Series last year. So it's going to be tough to lose him, I would imagine. But what did he do in that first half?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he was the closer when they needed one run lead. Frank Rubio was the call. I believe he ended up with, it was either 9 or 10 at the end of the day. He kept on going up and down from Richmond, so the numbers got a little screwy there. But one thing about Frank Rubio, like you said, he won the national championship, knows what it's like to pitch under pressure. And one thing that you wouldn't see exactly on the statistics is Frank Rubio goes after hitters. He throws strikes, he puts the ball in their court, and he says, I'm going to throw you strikes. If you can hit them, great. But most of the time they can't, and he just dominates. Very rarely does he walk any players, any batters, or really even get down on the count on them. He comes out aggressive, and that's what you like in a closer. Very confident in his stuff and closes out the ball game pretty easily.
Now, we're always going to ask you about Elliot Ramos, the prospect there in Augusta, playing out in the outfield. And I know he's improved a lot. I saw that he was hitting over 300 in the month of June. So what has transpired for him? Why is he hitting so much better?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first off, it just slow improvements. You got to remember he's only 18 years old, everybody. It seems like there's so many eyes on him, a lot of expectation. First off, his first year here in America, just put that into it as well. Just a lot of pressure on him, and he just needed a little time to adjust. And now he's coming to his own, but more from a baseball perspective. A lot of pitchers were throwing away from him, and it was just fooling him. But now working with the hitting coach of Thomas Neal, he's adjusted, and there's really no weak spots for Elliot Ramos. He is a factor every time at the plate, and then especially also in the field too. A great fielder out there in center field, just covers. There's really no balls that get over his head. He's been fantastic, and he's continuing to improve. Positive sign for Giants fans.
Yeah, another high pick from last year in the second round is Jacob Gonzalez, the son of Luis Gonzalez. I don't know if you've seen Luis out there. He's a great guy, but his son seems to be doing pretty well so far.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, the second round pick in 2017, Jacob Gonzalez, he's been great over there at third base. He has a ton of power, and he's only 19 years old. It's going to take a little bit more time to completely mature him and get him to where they need him to be. But you can just see him, his presence at the plate just screams power hitter to me. Last night, hit a home run into left center field, the longest that we've had here in our new ballpark of SRP Park. It was right off the bat to center field. It's the longest out there. So just a lot of power. And another good part about his game is he knocks in runners in scoring position. He's been in that fourth and fifth spot pretty much the entire first half and into the second half, and does a great job of when there's runners in scoring position, knocking them home. Obviously, more runs, the better.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like he's doing a really good job there. Good to hear. Yeah. What about your shortstop, Manuel Giraldo? He's been kind of a surprise, I guess. I hadn't really heard his name, but it looks like he's putting up a good season. Is he also good defensively?
Oh, good defensively. Oh, my goodness. This man, I know you don't see that on the box scores or anything. Defensively, he is fantastic. The best defensive shortstop I saw in the first half in the South Atlantic League. I compare him to kind of Javi Baez of the Chicago Cubs. Somebody, he's a little unique, but in a very good way. Nothing gets by him. I would make the argument probably the best fielder in the South Atlantic League so far this season. And then he backs it up at the plate as well. In the month of May, he won Player of the Month. He batted .384 in May. So really, he's two-dimensional switch hitter. He's got it all, and is also a surprise for me as well. I didn't circle him as somebody to keep my eye out for, but as an all-star now, in the all-star game just a couple of days ago, he went 3-for-5 with a home run. So even showing up against the best talent in the South Atlantic League.
All right, Joe. Hey, thanks a lot for the update. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again later on this summer.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on. Always appreciate it.
That's Augusta play-by-play announcer Joe Lorendi. Want to thank him and the Giants Vice President of Player Development, David Bell, for joining us in our look at the Giants minor league system today. Next week, we'll catch up again with Ray Woodson as the Giants continue their road trip into Colorado for games on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, as we get into July on the Major League schedule. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.